So you know how you like you mix iced tea and lemonade? It's pretty good.
It's an Arnold Palmer.
Yeah. Like, why can't you mix like a Coke and a Sprite?
You can. It's called poor man's ginger ale.
Is that really what it's called?
Yeah, like when you go to like wedding stuff when you're kids, the soda gun would never have ginger ale, but if you mix the two, it was close.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Sounds gross.
Sounds like ginger ale.
How is that like ginger ale? There's no ginger.
Yeah, but
or ale.
It's kind of ginger ale-y.
How is it? I don't believe it.
Had the color.
Did it? Welcome to the Exploding Barrel podcast for April 14th, 2016. This is Mike Minotti. I am joined by my brother Edgar.
That was an amazing date read. You didn't even look down.
I looked down a little bit. It was very subtle. I had to see that 14th.
You're getting better at this.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it only took 10 years or whatever. What are we at? Oh, no, 9. My bad.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Excuse me. This Arnold Palmer is actually pretty tasty. Oh, no, this is like getting... Oh, no, the cup's still good. Excuse me. So welcome to our show today. Kind of a loose theme here, but the new Jungle Book movie is coming out.
So therefore,
we're going to talk about Adventureland and Disney World, Disneyland and other adventure lands as they are.
Because we don't know what else to talk about this week.
Yeah, but you know, kind of talk about the Jungle Book. I'm kind of excited for this because
rave reviews.
I'm not a big fan of these like live action remake things. Like I saw Maleficent. Even when like they did in the 90s or like that 101 Dalmatians. Disney made a live action Jungle Book in the 90s. Do you remember that?
No.
It was like the animals didn't talk. It was like very realistic.
Did Disney make that?
Disney made that.
Huh.
It was kind of a deal at the time. Not a huge deal, but yeah. So this isn't even the first time Disney's done this, but this one is like, you know, this is Jon Favreau. It's getting really good reviews. I'm seeing it tonight. You're seeing it later. I'm very excited. Watched the original last night.
How'd that go for you? I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah, because I haven't seen it in a long time, but it's still a fun movie. It is like... It's like, this is like when like their animation quality had kind of taken a drop off.
Well, there's a lot of the exact same shot done twice, but with like different lighting.
Right, or like taking animation from like earlier movies. And just like, plus, this is from when they had, I forget what it's called, but they had that like new shade, like inking technique where they don't actually ink it. They just
Xerox.
Like, it's not Xerox.
It wasn't Xerox.
Xerox is when you just trace over something. It's just like, they had a way so that basically it like, automatically darken their pencil sketches in a way that they didn't have to ink it. But because of that, everything looks a lot sketchier. It's the same process I was using Sword in the Stone, 101 Dalmatians, like Aristocats, all those kind of things.
101 Dalmatians was Xerox. That was the big thing about that.
Well, it's that same sketchy look. Like, you can just see the guidelines sometimes, basically. Mm-hmm. It's very rough. You know, it saves them a lot of money, but also kind of looks a little... cheap, but I mean,
everyone loves Bare Necessities.
No, it's a great, you know, it's still a very endearing, charming, very fun movie. Yeah. Great music and all that stuff. But yeah, very excited for this remake. But yeah, so Arnold Palmer. Let's go. We should get some Dole Whips, huh?
Oh, good transition.
I never got into the Dole Whips.
You don't like fruit.
I don't like fruit. I feel left out on the whole Dole Whip craze because people like. Yeah, so Dole Whips are. That is like the big Adventureland treat that everybody loves. Did that start in Disney World or Disneyland?
Disneyland, I think, because Dole was the sponsor of the
Tiki Room.
Mm-hmm. So what's your format here? How are we doing this?
Let's just talk about Disney World. Right? Do you have like an earliest Adventureland memory?
Oh, it probably involves the Jungle Cruise.
Right. It's funny, people kind of forget, like, the Jungle Cruise. When it opened in Disneyland, that was, like, the big ride, easily.
Yeah.
Because, like, when Disneyland opened, I started talking about Disney World, but now I was talking about the Jungle Cruise a little bit. When Disneyland opened, like, most of the rides, per se, it was basically just the stuff at Fantasyland, which was, like, Dumbo, you know, teacups, and then, like, the carousel.
Kind of, like, plussed up
was it teacups
amusement
there?
Yeah, park
teacups.
Attractions.
Were teacups there day one?
I don't know.
But, I mean, you had, like, the Snow White ride stuff. Yeah, like, so you had, like, the basic dark rides and, like, those. And the dark rides were even more basic back then. And then you had, like, Tomorrowland didn't really have much except for, like, science exhibits and Rocket to the Moon. Frontierland was, like, basically, it was kind of, like, very open. It was
ride
like
some wagons.
Right, you literally horses. Ride wagons and horses would be, like, a petting zoo. Frontierland, very different than what it is today. Mm. But Adventureland just had the Jungle Cruise, which is, like, you know, that's a pretty full-on ride still, you know? compared to things we have. You don't quite have animatronics. We have, like, the little moving things and stuff. It's long. You're on a boat. Mm-hmm. You know, back then, you know, that was, like, a pretty AAA experience. Excuse me.
Nice.
Yeah. But, even by the time we had gone on the Jungle Cruise, though, they had kind of revamped it to be a comedy experience where it's kind of poking fun at itself a little bit because it did kind of age in some ways.
Well, and that did peak in the, probably early 80s. They don't let the skippers improvise like they used to.
Right, they kind of
used to be able to just go. In fact, like you always hear, famous Jungle Cruise alums include Robin Williams and John Lasseter.
Right, right.
So it's kind of a bummer that's not encouraged. Like they'll sneak a thing or two in here, but it's not like they follow the same basic script.
My appreciation of Jungle Cruise is kind of like on a reverse bell curve. Like I liked it when I was a little kid. Then kind of for a while, I just thought it was stupid. Didn't want to do it. And now it's something that I definitely want to do at least once each trip. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Part of it too is because I appreciate the history of it a bit more, I guess. But it's always a fun ride. It's relaxing.
Well, on a recent trip. And I don't remember if it was my honeymoon or the last time we all went, but we got on the Jungle Cruise, and the Jungle Cruise skipper jokingly looked at me and was like, "You want to steer the ship?" And like the 2-year-old in me lit up. I was like, "Yeah!" And she's like, "Okay, go ahead." So I was at the wheel while she did her spiel, and I was like, "Well, I mean, there's still kids on this boat. I gotta keep the magic alive." So, like, knowing the route it takes, I, like, did my damnedest to, like, actually make it look like I was driving this boat.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that was really fun.
Yeah, so that's kind of... I do like that there is still an actual skipper, just because slightly organic things like that can still happen. Mm-hmm. A lot of rides at Disney World more that used to kind of have that driver component, kind of got rid of it.
Yeah, like Live With The Land. Live With
The Land, when the back lot was still around. But basically, there's that, and then there's like a great movie ride still does it. And
Safari.
Safari, you kind of need that component, I think, because that's so anything can happen. But Tiki Room kind of not too far from there, which I haven't been to since they reverted it to the old. Have you seen that?
Very delightful, yes. So there was, you're referring to when it was the Tiki Room under new management.
And this
which was funny for, like, the first year.
Yeah.
But then, like, when it was open like that for 10 years, you're like,
No, because there was a fire in, like, the roof area where they keep a lot of the animatronics. And, like, I think, ironically, it's that it was the Yago who's, like, damaged, like, in bandages, was the one who got, like, really burned up.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, no.
What do we do?
But I always like the show. I know that for some, there's kind of like an age bell curve, I think, where there's like a certain point where kids are like too old, like they'll just kind of think it's dumb.
Right.
It was a thing, but you know, this was like one of the first animatronic shows. So back in the day, it was kind of a really neat thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I always enjoy doing it. I always think it's fun. It's charming. I bet even still when you go, little kids get into it.
Yeah, Jeff Parsons on a recent family trip was shocked to see his daughter Livy, like, super get into the Tiki Room. And the picture he sent me had the caption, Tiki Room. Who knew?
Right. And, you know, they kind of shortened it over the years a bit, which I know some peers are upset about, but I think it's maybe good in a way.
Yeah, you don't even be in there for 20 minutes.
No, right? 15 minutes is probably a bit more... 15 to 10 is probably a bit more of a reasonable time.
Now, the original Tiki Room in Disneyland was meant to be a restaurant.
Yes. That was the original idea, and it's still attached to a building that has a kitchen, which is kind of interesting. Kind of a cool concept, actually. I wouldn't mind that. Almost kind of like a pre-Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah.
Just be like, you'd be like in a jungle, there'd be these animatronics around
you. And they'd
you.
Sing every so often.
Right. It'd be kind of nice. It's actually still not... I don't think it's a bad idea. I almost wouldn't mind someday if like...
It's not like that was going to be what Be Our Guest would be. And they scaled back.
Yeah, I think
Be
Our Guest was originally supposed to have, like, a show component. And then that didn't really happen, which worked out fine for that. Didn't really need it.
No.
Mm-hmm. The show component is kind of interesting, because it's like, if it's done well, it's kind of neat, but at the same time, it can kind of become Chuck E. Cheese's.
And it slows down service, too. You're not going to leave your table until you've seen the show.
I think that's exactly the problem, which is the practical reason why they wouldn't do it. But yeah, I always enjoy the Tiki Room. Now, where Aladdin is now, what did that used to be?
I honestly can't remember.
I think it was just kind of an area.
Yeah.
It's like some shops and stuff. I always thought that was...
That's become the Agrabah Bazaar. Like, they have, like... It's weird, because Disney World's Adventureland does have, like, kind of little mini
Right, well, areas. First it's kind of like the African, India, like, jungle-y thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to... And it always was kind of... Was it always kind of Arabic there, or am I just making that up?
I think you're making it up, because I don't, before Aladdin, why would they have that?
Then there was, like, the rape section, and then it kind of goes, piratey, basically.
Caribbean.
For lack of a better word. But, yeah. But it was always kind of a weird addition to me, just because... It's the same thing as Dumbo, basically, except they tilt.
Well, it was born of... Dumbo has still, but back then, it seemed like Dumbo always had massive lines. Mm-hmm. And I think this was a way to help mitigate that. But the problem is, you don't ride Dumbo because it's like this great, thrilling thing. You ride it because it's Dumbo.
It seems kind of a shame to me that we don't really have, like, we never had, like, a big Aladdin ride. We got this thing instead.
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of like it took forever for them to really make, like, a good Little Mermaid ride.
And, yeah, true.
Yeah, so it's just kind
of... That's weird. For as big as all those movies in the 90s were...
I mean, I guess it makes sense, you know, the carpet, the spinner, it's fine.
It works, it's fine.
But the problem, it's weird because Disney World, you have, you literally, it's like a triangle of spinners. Like, it's like you walk in, straight ahead, it's Dumbo, to the left, Aladdin, to the right, to the rocket.
You talked about the three mountains, no one talks about the three spinners.
Right. And then, you go to Animal Kingdom, there's another one, with the Triceratops.
Yep.
It's like, okay. All right, everybody, let's go.
We got it. It is a neat little area. They did a good job of theming it. I like that the spitting camels from the old Aladdin parade, which have been reused so many times over the years.
They were in front of that makeshift restaurant where the Playhouse Disney stuff
is. But they now have a permanent home at the Magic Carpets of Aladdin, so that's nice. Mm-hmm. And they still spit.
Mm-hmm. So, and it's important to know that when Disney World first opened, this is where Adventureland ended, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And their original idea was they were not going to build Pirates of the Caribbean in Disney World.
No. They were strangely refusing to do
so. Their thinking was that in Florida, the idea of pirates isn't nearly as novel because they're so close.
Because there's so many pirates walking around
in Florida.
They're so close
to the Caribbean, nobody cares. They were going to instead build a Pirates of the Caribbean-like ride in Frontierland called the...
Western River Expedition.
Right. And it was going to be pretty similar. Like, you would be on a boat, a lot of animatronics. There would be, like, a small drop at some point. It would be more towards the end. It was going to have, like, a song by people, and, you know, it was going to be this whole thing. It was, like, basically going to be the first big expansion project after the park opened. As soon as the park opened, though, everybody complained, where's Pirates of the Caribbean?
Mm-hmm.
So much so, like, it became this major issue. And they're like, oh, crap, we miscalculated, we need pirates here ASAP. So they kind of took the money that was going to go towards that Western River ride, kind of went to the edge of Adventureland, and kind of built up... as much of a Pirates of the Caribbean as they could, because there really wasn't originally the space for it. And that's why the Florida version is shorter than mm-hmm. than the Disneyland one. You don't have that kind of extended cave treasure hoard sequence. You only have one drop, stuff like that. But even still, for a long time, this is the only Pirates of the Caribbean I've ever done.
Also, one thing that Florida's Pirates always has over California is I love that line. The line is phenomenal.
The fort is very cool. In Disneyland, you're kind of outside most of the time. Then you basically go inside this little area, which
just
is...
Get on the boat.
You kind of go through this whole fort, and there's, like, the skeletons around. Basically, that the fort's... It's kind of like... Instead of having those extra scenes in the ride, you kind of go through it in the queue a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the makeup for it.
What I also like about the way they designed that part of Adventureland, this kind of Caribbean section... Mm-hmm. The architecture does such a good job of blending into Frontierland.
Right.
It's one of my favorite land transitions.
It's interesting how that transition was usually not there.
Right. You couldn't go that way.
Right. You couldn't kind of go around like
because
that.
Because there also wasn't Splash Mountain back there, too, so it all just kind of stopped.
Instead, there was kind of like that area by Country Bear where you can kind of like go between them.
Yeah, there's some breezeways.
There's some breezeways, but yeah.
I always liked that transition. I always felt that was very well done.
We never really get lunch. We always usually go to Tomorrowland first, so we usually get lunch there. We're never really in this area for lunch. We never really gone to the Pirate and the Parrot or whatever it's called.
Jessica and I went... No, it was closed on our honeymoon. We went to Pecos Bill.
It's the same. It's connected.
Yeah, they're connected.
Typically Pecos Bill is always open.
It's not called Pirate Perico anymore. It's Tortuga Tavern.
That's right.
It's seasonal, so you miss it a lot of the time.
Right, because... Usually they'll just open Pecos Bill and they'll have...
Well, Pecos Bill's always open.
Right, exactly. And like they'll use maybe the seating from...
Yeah, the seating's open, but the kitchen won't be.
Right, so interesting. Yeah,
but now that they revamped it. It's like burritos and things like that.
It is nice. It used to be just every single place was burgers and fries and like maybe a pizza. Mm-hmm. So it's nice that they kind of changed the menu.
Of course, they have the new restaurant that opened since we've been last, the Skipper Canteen.
Oh, yes.
Which is supposed to be excellent. I've heard some very good things about it.
Yeah, it sounds really neat. In fact, I would make a very big point of trying to go to this. And it's kind of You know, it's not quite as, like, a ridiculous as, like, the Beauty and the Beast restaurant, but the idea is, like, this is, like, the can't, this is, like, where, like, the skippers would, like, go have their meals
between. And they've, like, opened it up.
Right, and it's heavily themed. Your waiters are in character.
A lot of Adventure Club references. A
lot of Adventure Club references. It sounds really neat. And, I think it's good to have more sit-down dining options in Disney World.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt, especially in the Magic Kingdom.
We used to be back when, if we wanted to sit down, we went to the Liberty Tree Inn, like, every time.
That's all you had. We had that. And Tony's.
Tony's and the Royal Table, which was impossible to get in. You go to the Plaza and get a, you know, Crystal Pass, whatever it was called. Mm-hmm. Get the buffet, but, yeah.
So, of course, we teased the beginning, but there's two kind of quick service drink and treat options. The one is the orange swirl, and
that was kind of the Disney World one that they invented because
the orange bird thing and everything. But then there was the Dole Whip, which became so popular that a year ago they actually swapped the Sunshine Tree Terrace and what's the other one called? What's the thing where you get the Dole Whip called?
Oh, I don't know. You're the Dole Whip guy.
I don't know. They switched them. They the names even switched, but like because. The original Dole Whip thing was literally just two windows in a wall, right. And it had these massive lines, and they couldn't, like, fit on the street. So they swapped them. I haven't been there since the swap happened. But for those of you who do not know, a Dole Whip is basically like a pineapple. It's not soft serve. It's not cream-based, so it's almost like a smoother sherbet. You can get it swirled with vanilla ice cream. They also... they have an orange version of it, but it's not really the same thing. But you could get it just in a cup, or you can get it in a float with pineapple juice, which is the best thing ever. They have it at Disneyland, Disney World. You could also get the Polynesian Resort. You can get it at the Dole Plantation, apparently, in Hawaii, okay. If you want to go there. And they don't call it Dole Whip, but it'll pop up sometimes. Like during Food and Wine Festival at Epcot, they have it at one of the booths. There's a place in Animal Kingdom where you can actually get it, but again, they don't call it Dole Whip. But when you get it not in Magic Kingdom, you can put rum in it.
Oh. Yes. Yeah, so it's kind of the most famous of, like, the park-exclusive treats.
So good. So I ate so many Dole Whips last time I was there. Jessica and I think, we went to Magic Kingdom, I think, on three different days. We had two Dole Whips a day each.
So... We went to the Disney World Adventureland a lot before we ever went to Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the kind of the Disneyland one?
Well, obviously it's smaller.
But
it does have Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Forbidden Eye,
which is like maybe the best ride in that park.
Yeah.
And one thing we kind of skipped over in the we always forget about the Swiss Family Robinson or Tarzan Treehouse or whatever it is.
Well, Swiss Family Robinson in Florida, the Tarzan Treehouse in Disney, which seems like it's. Feels like, it feels like they should have done it the other way around. Yeah, leave the original one in Disneyland and with the Florida
one. Anyways, that's a thing. But but Indiana Jones, that's a fantastic. And that's it's just like a great natural fit, too. It's so funny how they fit that in, because basically, like, the queue is so long for it, because it's a popular ride, but it's a very straight queue.
You walk half a mile.
You have to walk half a mile, basically to an old parking lot section. Yeah, but it's like...
Because if you pay attention, the line slopes down, because you go under the train tracks.
Right.
Through the berm. And yeah, they like built the show building on the former Eeyore parking structure. Mm-hmm. Or not structure, but lot.
Right, and that's just a super fun ride. But I also love like how like just like that setting fits right with the Jungle Cruise boat's going by.
Yeah, they really knock that all out of the park.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. The Jungle Cruise there seems pretty similar to me. There's not much of a difference. Because again, that was kind of planned from the beginning both.
That's pretty much the same.
Right. Tiki Room there hasn't changed. I did that the last time I was there, and it was the first time I did the original. It was very nice. It's a little different. Like theirs is a bit more of like a square shape, whereas ours, Disney World one's like more circular. If you know what I mean, like the room.
No, they're about the same.
Are they about the same? It was smaller. Smaller, for sure. It seemed kind of quainter, almost in a nice way, really. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
We should also point out that the only original tree from the property before it was Disneyland is in Adventureland. Right.
There might be a couple more, but there's like the most easy to find one. It's like from the farm that they bought, the orange groves or whatever it was. So that's kind of interesting.
It's right, if you want to find it, it's between the queues for Adventure or the Jungle Cruise and Indiana Jones. It's like right up against the building
that houses tree.
The queue for Jungle Cruise. Yeah, it's hard to miss. It's the tree that's obviously been there a long time because it's huge.
It's still weird to me how, Pirates of the Caribbean's not in Adventureland.
Yes, in New Orleans Square.
I guess also kind of makes sense. It doesn't almost... it almost doesn't make quite as much sense, you know? And
yeah, like, why are pirates in New Orleans if they're pirates of the Caribbean? And...
yeah, you know? It's like, there's a river there, and you get them, so...
Yeah, you take the river, yeah. You go through the bayou, and you fall in a waterfall, and you're in the Caribbean.
Yeah, like, New Orleans Square is almost... It always kind of feels like an extension of Adventureland to me, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Almost kind of like how Liberty Square kind of feels like an extension of Frontierland.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Like they're kind of their own land, sure, but they're kind of different. So, all right. And then, real quick...
you've been to Disneyland Paris.
I was
Paris.
To Disneyland in Paris recently, and I got to see their Adventureland. And it's their Adventureland is interesting, because, for one thing, kind of, like, their Adventureland and Frontierland swapped, sort of, on the
which
map.
Is so weird.
So, like, you know, on the bottom left is simply Adventureland. Well, that's where their Frontierland is. So, like, the top left is Adventureland. And it's kind of like these three segments. There's, like, the Pirates of the Caribbean area. And their outdoor queue and indoor queue of Pirates is awesome. Because it is, like, the fort. Like, even, like, super... Like, it's, like, the fort. It's under it. Like, it's damage and stuff. Like, battle damage. You know? It's really... And, like, in Disneyland, it has kind of the restaurant attached to it, too. Which is neat. It's the Blue Lagoon instead of the Blue Bayou.
Mm-hmm.
But, And it's really neat. It kind of has an extended fort scene that I enjoyed a lot. At one point, you're kind of on that upper part of the fort, and you can look down, and you can see, like, that ship besieging the fort and stuff.
That's
that
cool.
You go by later and all that stuff. So, yeah, their Pirates was actually really cool. Might be the best version of Pirates I've been on. And plus, not that I mind the Jack Sparrow stuff, but it didn't have that. It was just kind of interesting to, like, travel back mm-hmm. in time a little bit.
Yeah.
Even though they're all speaking French. Stuff. But yeah, so there's that Pirates section, and then there's like this little Indiana Jones section, and they have a roller coaster for the Indiana Jones ride, which I did not go on because I'm a fraidy cat and it goes upside down.
Coward.
Yeah, I know. And then they also have like their island, like they have like a, instead of like a Tom Sawyer's Island, there's like a pirate island there, and that's where also like their treehouse is, and it was actually closed, it was being renovated, so mm-hmm. I didn't go on that. So yeah, it was a very, very different feel. It was basically... All Pirates of Indiana Jones, you didn't really have... Yeah, you didn't... I mean, you don't have a Jungle Cruise.
Right.
Which is kind of the biggest difference. That's kind of... And yeah, you don't have, like, that sort of jungle flavor to it at all at theirs. Which
weird.
Is, yeah, right? Which is very... It is kind of weird, huh? Maybe a bit more that was on the island and I didn't really see
that
it.
That could
there.
Be, yeah.
But it was much more pirate-focused. Which, again, when Adventureland and Disneyland original, no pirates. Pirates isn't part of that at all.
Yeah.
And every other... You know, like, the Adventureland they're building in a... the Disneyland Shanghai, I don't think it's called Adventureland, it's called just like
Pirates Cove or
Pirates
something
Cove,
like that.
Right, like it's the Pirates of the Caribbean area, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting. Alright, so that's a little bit on Adventureland then. That was good.
No Jungle Book attractions in Adventureland.
Right? Actually, it's kind of weird. Well, it's weird that there's none there, and there aren't really any in
Animal Kingdom. Yeah, there are no Jungle Book
especially
things.
Since there's an India section.
Yeah, how they missed that?
And yeah. It's funny because Jungle Book's always popping. Those characters always show up. There's not really like a Jungle Book ride per se.
I mean, you do have Ka plays into the Disneyland version of Fantasmic,
right?
And you know you have that kind of Jungle Book section there.
I feel like there's Jungle Book sections of things a lot.
Yeah, because you know like the music's catchy.
Had to be a show at some point or something. Maybe I'm just thinking of the Tailspin
so.
Characters and
yeah.
The.
Oh yeah, they came out of Mickey Starland. Yeah, that's the best. We did the Tailspin.
It's actually surprising. If this is a massive hit, though, this live-action version, it'll be interesting to see if they try to do something with that in Animal Kingdom or whatever.
Yeah,
I
mean, something.
Indie. I mean, God, you could even just do a Jungle Book overlay of the Kali River Rapids, maybe.
Or even just the walking track, the Maharaja Jungle track.
All right.
Special Zone. Play anything good?
I've been playing Bravely Second. My review went up. I'm enjoying that a lot. Basically, if you like Bravely Default, you should play it. You can't...
It sounds like it's more of the same, but in a good way.
It's interesting because so many RPG series, like the sequels, have nothing really to do with the other games, like in a plot sense. Like, there's different characters, different setting, whatever. This is very much, like, a lot of the same characters. It takes place shortly afterwards. The one thing I found really interesting is just that, like, your party is two returning characters and two new ones.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the returning characters was the main character from the last
one. It's kind
of
neat.
And he's like, yeah, but he's not the main character this time. He's just, like, one of the party members. Which is, it's kind of different. I kind of like that. But, it's super fun to feel. I mean, I love the game just because it's so, old school Final Fantasy-ish. And it's, like, its grinding options are just so convenient. I can just, like, do something else and, like, grind.
That was the nice thing about it, yeah.
But it's just kind of fun. Besides that, I played more Overwatch with you. We were having a good time yesterday.
Yeah, I'm enjoying competitive mode. Mm-hmm. Just because people give a shit.
Right. I played a little Battleborn.
Me too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I played a round.
Yeah, it's a lot more MOBA-y.
Well, you know, I've said that Overwatch is kind of Team Fortress Classic 3.
Yeah.
Battleborn is Super Monday Night Combat 2.
Yeah.
With a little bit of Heroes of the Storm influence. Like, there's mercenary camps, basically. And
yeah, but, like, it's not quite as intense. Like, the map was smaller. There's really only one lane or two lanes, maybe, per se.
Just, my only thing is, I want to try the co-op mode, and hopefully we could do that one night this week. But, like, I think there's a reason you play MOBAs from overhead. There's so much shit going on, blowing up in my face, and everything's a scale. Yeah. And like, I just couldn't see shit.
It was a little confusing, especially with their kind of cartoon style.
That's the other thing. I'm not a fan of this style.
Which is weird, because Super Monday Night Combat I didn't have that much of a problem with for whatever reason. But yeah, this game gets hectic.
Well, things are on very varying vertical scales.
It's very,
and it's just hard to see over.
Well, there's that. There's a lot of UI, a lot of interface.
Here's what I don't like about the art design. Like, so again, to use Overwatch as a counterpoint, everything fits. Everything tells a story. Everything's of the same universe. This game feels like
this is anything goes.
Yeah, it's like we need 24 characters. We've got 24 guys. We're going to put them all in a separate room and draw a character that looks bizarre.
Here's the Mushroom Man who heals people, and here's the
Butler Robot,
Soldier Man.
Elf and the Archer, and it's like, how do these fit together?
Now, it is funny sometimes, and it is kind of like that meme-tastic humor, very similar to Borderlands.
Yeah, they Gearbox really likes the word badass.
Right. They're like, used very, like, not sincerely. But, like, there's parts that did, like, maybe lack. Like, I was, like, the soldier character who was, like, reminds me so much of Soldier 76 because he literally has, like, the gun and he can shoot out, like, a grenade. But it's funny, like, he shoots at his, like, grenade launcher. He's, like, firing explosive thingy.
Yeah, just, or, like, he shouts, like, I've got my noob tube.
Right. And just, like, you wonder, mate, that might get old after a bit, but it is kind of fun. Like, characters have a personality.
Yeah, I think this game's problem is going to be it's coming out around the same time as Overwatch. And even though they're very different.
They're very different, but, like, some people are almost stressing too much how different they are. They are also similar in ways.
Yeah, well,
they're character driven, like
they're going
first
to
person
compete
competitive.
For the same play space.
I think so.
Like, you're not going to buy Overwatch and be like, I'm going to play Battleborn too. I think you're going
to
pick one.
But the problem is, like, Battleborn hasn't been making the gestures to the MOBA fan bases that it should.
Yeah, like they've been kind of like not up. It's like the way Destiny didn't want to call itself an MMO.
Right. So,
like, just call yourself a MOBA and get that MOBA crowd. Is this game free to play?
No. I think it's full price. I think it might be $60.
Do you get all the characters? Because there's characters locked. I didn't know that was a beta thing.
I don't know, because it'd be very sketchy if you don't.
If you paid $60 and did get all the characters, that's weird.
I thought it was kind of weird in the beta that all the characters were unlocked.
Yeah, I don't know if that's just because we say beta and they mean demo or
I
what.
So. I think so. But, I mean, it seemed fine. I just can't imagine, like, so I can't imagine myself really playing it.
I mean, like I said, I want to try the co-op mode just to see what that's all about, but I have no great...
Apparently it's like Borderlands
Light. If I'm going to put in the time a round of MOBA takes, I'm going to go play Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, the character archetypes are all very archetype-y. You got the sword guy, you know, like some things were neat. Like I liked,
like I said, the like, robot butler's kind of cool.
He was kind of cool. I liked how, like, if you shot like the same target three times, it was like a damage buff.
That's the thing. I don't know if I was missing some feedback or what. You have no idea if you're hitting something.
It is kind of, yeah.
No clue. I mean, I know I was, because I got kills.
Yeah.
But I never knew if I was hitting something.
It does make me appreciate just, like, some of, like, the finesse of Overwatch. I mean, obviously, Overwatch is a much better-looking game, just easily. It's not even a matter of style. Just, like, technically, like, the way it's animated. Like, this game has a very stiff animation.
The animations are stiff, but everything kind of floats across the ground. It's got that going.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's not like much of a weight to things. I don't know.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Nothing has weight.
But
Overwatch has weight.
Regardless, though, even though, like, a lot of people do, I don't know. Like, it's a good. I think it's a fine game. It's bad timing. I almost worry about how much this might bomb.
Yeah, I don't think this is gonna do. I mean,
I think like
you might appeal to a weird closeted MOBA crowd on console, like the kind of people who are playing Sacred.
Or
maybe
or Sacred, you mean
or not Sacred. What's the MOBA called? Smite.
Sacred.
Smite. Like, maybe that's who you get, but then they're playing Smite. It's like, I just don't know who this is for.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's not gonna appeal to Borderlands fans.
Not really.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe a little bit just like with like the humor and stuff.
Yeah, but not the gameplay.
I mean,
it's completely different.
Maybe they'll learn to like it. It's weird too, like, especially, I mean, you know, it's like the beta, people know what they're doing, but like so much of it is really about just gathering those resources and building
turrets. Yeah, that is
the and, like,
one,
no one's doing
the thing
it.
That's got going for us. Yeah, well, that's how, like, the one game I played, we won because we were doing that. We had turrets built into the enemy base.
Right.
They weren't countering
us. That's kind of a problem. I mean, this is just like a beta because no one knows going on. Like, each game I played was very heavily one sided.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't really like a close contest.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just. It's filling a void that is filled.
But then, like, well, there's the other thing. It's like I get, like, you know, the whole, the game where it's like, you know, your skill kind of matters, but also you got to level up and you need to build these turrets. Or I could play Overwatch and it's kind of just about, like, the more basic strategy of, like, you know, how do you win a fight against another person.
Or
it's,
I play Heroes of the Storm.
Right. It's, yeah, I don't know. Seems ill-timed. All right. Anything else?
So I decided, because I've been in the closed beta since December and never played it, but yesterday, the Fable Legends beta shut down permanently, so I was like, I guess I should try this. So I got into a new character, and I played for like an hour and a half or so, and I kind of really liked it.
That's, well, too bad.
Yeah, right?
Whoops.
I mean, so the game felt like it was finished. Like, I don't
know. It is very bizarre to me that they didn't just release it in
just
some
state. Just go for it? Like, I don't know what the problem was. I mean, imagine taking the combat systems of Fable, which I think are pretty good. Like, Fable 2, I love the hell out of that game. So you got that combat style. Instead of making a character, you're picking a character like you would, kind of like a MOBA sort of deal. So I picked this. It was a cool character, actually. It was, imagine the Lady of the Lake who's guarding the sword, Excalibur, while she's waiting is like, well, the only thing I have to entertain myself with is this sword, so I guess I'm going to, like, practice with it. And no one ever earns the sword, so she's like, well, I guess I'll use it. Like, that's the character I was playing, which is kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
So you play through, like, the little introductory thing. You pick up some of this, like, AI companions to fill out until you get to the town, and then, like, this Rose Queen captures the king and his son. So from what I can tell, the format of the game would have been very similar to Phantasy Star Online, where you kind of have a hub where you, you know, invite your friends to your game, or then you go out to a quest, and that match makes you. And then you run through a bunch of little arenas and you fight fights. And there was that villain component, but it was just run by the AI. It didn't matchmake anyone into it. And you get to the end, you fight a boss. And it was super cool. I don't know. I liked it a lot. I'm kind of bummed.
It is just weird that they just didn't try. I mean, as long as that was in development, it seemed like it was close enough.
As they touted it, like, it was going to be the big, you know, PC and Xbox cross-play,
it seems
your,
like,
purchases are going
to sink. I feel like Microsoft had a big free-to-play initiative when they were launching the Xbox One that they've really backed off of.
Yeah.
Because you had stuff like
Killer Instinct,
and
which
they kind of
Killer
support.
Instinct still has free-to-play, but they really just want you to buy the season pass each time.
Right, right. So
I will say, too, the game looked fantastic, and the music was great. It had this really cool style for the cutscenes, where it all looked like you call it, just like kind of like cardboard cutouts, like on a stage, and like when you were in like a loading screen,
okay, yeah,
like you would walk through
like
that.
Stick puppets.
Yeah, it was neat. Just like you said, it just seems really bizarre.
It seems like there's something else going on.
Yeah, I really want to know what the deal was there, because it was cool.
All right, I think that does it.
Yeah, I should do it.
All right, well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store and leave us a review. We always appreciate it. You can find all of our old shows there as well. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.